put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
Radio Theatre presents a Cats production.
Overcrowded.
Agatha Christie.
And admitting the fact she's burning to act, that isn't quite enough. She has nice
from
hands.
From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories, of corpses, clues, and crime, BRT now brings you complete bold hat, brave moustache, your favourite detective, Hercule Poirot, starring Harold Sear,
of Wednesday the
23rd.
Although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how
before
can I make it clear
Hercule Poirot
it's not a good idea for her to hope?
It seems only 50
Mrs. Worthington
millions of faithful readers
on the
who have followed the little Belgian detective's career in book form to meet the famous lady who created this character. So it is our privilege to present a message from Agatha Christie introducing Hercule Poirot. Now we hear Miss Agatha Christie's message. Go ahead, London.
I feel this is an occasion that would have appealed to Hercule Poirot. He would have done justice to the inauguration of this radio program, and he might even have made it seem something of an international event. However, as he's heavily engaged on an investigation, about which you will hear in due course, I must, as one of his oldest friends, deputize for him. The great man has his little foibles, but really I have the greatest affection for him. And it is a source of continuing satisfaction to me that there has been such a generous response to his appearance in my books. And I hope that his new career on the radio will make many new friends for him among a wider public.
Thank you, Miss Agatha Christie. And now, BRT presents Hercule Poirot in his first Bayrac adventure, The Case of the Careless Client, which is set in London in the 1940s.
Mademoiselle?
Mm?
This is the Cozy Home Apartment Renting Agency?
Well, we've got something to rent, yes.
I have the desire to rent an apartment.
Who hasn't?
Please, mademoiselle, do not jest. Hello, I have with me a brief dossier of my requirements. Please do read it.
Well, all right. Mm-hmm. Gentleman desires a bright, sun-shining apartment of a reasonable quietness near the heart of the city. Should be furnished with the utmost charm, French provincial if possible. Mm. Price is of no consequence as long as it's very reasonable. Mm. Please communicate with me at the Hotel Windsor, Hercules, P-O-I-R-O-T, Poirot.
No, mademoiselle. The name is Poirot, Hercule Poirot.
Well, I wish you luck, Mr. Poirot.
And finding an apartment, mademoiselle, is not a matter of luck. It is a matter of employing the little grey cells. If you can find an apartment for me, please do the kindness to inform me.
Well, certainly. If you'll do something for me...
And what is that?
If you can find an apartment for me, please do me the kindness to inform me.
Yesterday. You're Mr. Poirot, ain't you?
Poirot.
Well, Poirot, one of the boys points you out. Here you are, sir, second floor.
Oh, 1,000 apologies, madame.
Not at all. It was entirely my fault.
Madame appears troubled. Perhaps I may be of some slight assistance.
No, I... Well, if you're sure you don't mind.
But of course not.
You see, it's my door. It won't open.
Ah, and where is this obstinate door, eh?
It's right down the corridor, room 215.
If I may have the key?
But that's just it. The door isn't locked. I left it open only 10 minutes ago.
Indeed. Madame is very trusting, eh?
Here it is. See, it's stuck. It won't budge.
It is not precisely stuck, madame. It gives a trifle. This door is barricaded.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, voila. She moves, eh?
Oh, thanks awfully. Now, what do you suppose there is...
Oh, wait, madame. Perhaps it is better if I look first. Ah, alas, it is as I have feared.
What is it?
You do not know? Look.
Oh, it is a man. Is he...
Oui, madame. He has been strangled. This is murder. Suit au law, I must compliment you, madame. Your colour, it is excellent, and you did not even commence to faint. For one who...
I don't fall apart in a crisis, if that's what you mean. And furthermore, I'm not madame, I'm mademoiselle. By choice, Miss Abigail Fletcher. And now, if you get that corpse out of here, I'd like to sit down.
That I regret, I cannot do, mademoiselle. The body must not be touched before the police arrive.
Police?
Well, yes, of course, the police. I am calling them now. Hello? Hello? Ah, Inspector Stevens. It is I, Hercule Poirot. Alas, no. I have not yet found the apartment, but I have found something of perhaps more interest. A corpse. Right here in my hotel. Room number...
215.
Number 250. Mademoiselle, what are you doing with that body?
Nothing. I was just trying to see his face.
You will have that opportunity later. Pardon, Inspector. We are room 215. Bien. We shall expect you immediately. Eh bien, Miss Fletcher, now that you have observed the face of this unfortunate one, perhaps you will be good enough to tell me who he is?
I certainly will not. Who do you think you are?
Mademoiselle, permit me to present myself. I am Hercule Poirot, formerly chief of the Belgian Sûreté.
Yes, that's what you say. Well, look, Mr. Poirot, I've read plenty of detective stories, and none of them had a detective that looked anything like you. I'll wait for the police and let them ask the questions.
As you desire, mademoiselle. I merely wish to point out one thing. It is you the police will question first.
Me?
But, of course, you are the most likely suspect, no?
Well, all right. What do you want to know?
First, what are you doing here in this hotel?
Why, I've lived here for 10 years, ever since I left Cornwall.
And what do you do? What is your occupation?
Why, I don't have any occupation. I've got a little income. And I like it here in London. And the past few years I've been doing war work, Red Cross and things like that.
You seem a trifle vague, mademoiselle. Now, about this man. Who is he?
I don't know. I never saw him before in my life.
Mademoiselle, I advise you to consider your answers with care. Do not forget, a man lies dead in this room.
I can't help that. I don't know who he is or how he got here. I told you I was out of the room for 10 minutes?
That may be, Miss Fletcher, but it does not help you. This man has been dead for at least 1 hour.
How do you know?
If you will touch the body, you will observe it is already beginning to cool. Therefore, mademoiselle, if you left this room only 10 minutes ago, your situation is indeed grave, for this man was already dead.
Oh, but... I couldn't have done it.
So? And why not?
Because his body was lying right across the doorway. You know perfectly well I couldn't get out through this doorway and still leave a body wedged against it. Belgian surety, indeed.
Very good, mademoiselle. But you could have murdered him in here, made your departure by way of this fire escape through the room overhead, and come down inside the building to this corridor, where you so innocently made my acquaintance. You see, there is evidence that the fire escape has but recently been used. Now it is not so amusing, eh?
Well, I don't care. I had nothing to do with this. I know you detectives. You're out to get a suspect. And just because a man was
gently, gently, mademoiselle. All is not lost. Fortunately, you deal with Hercule Poirot, who goes one step beyond the obvious. You see, this man was not murdered in your room. He was killed in the room overhead.
But why? Why kill him upstairs and leave him on my doorstep?
That, mademoiselle, we shall discover in due course.
All right, Mr. Poirot. Now that you've got the corpse safely locked in my room, and us outside, what am I supposed to do? Sleep on the fire escape?
I do not think that will be necessary, mademoiselle. You are coming with me to the lobby where we shall wait for my friend, Inspector Stevens. He will see that you are comfortably sheltered for the night.
Oh. Tell me, Mr. Poirot, how do you figure out that the murder took place upstairs?
Is it not apparent, Miss Fletcher? Please to squeeze the bell for the elevator. I look out of your window and observe the fire escapes. And what do I find? Everywhere the dust reposes peacefully.
Well, naturally. The help is too busy to polish fire escapes.
Ah, mademoiselle. But on one stairway, the one leading up from your window, all is disarranged. There is a broad, clear path through the dust. And it is precisely the width of a human body. And since the path extends only to the floor above, it is obvious the body has been dragged down from room 315. Also, on the garments of the dead man, the trousers, the left elbow, and across the shoulders, there are unmistakable traces of rust.
Going down!
Oh, monsieur, would you be so good as to explain why you were so long in arriving?
Me? Oh, it's this old lift. Every once in a while it goes on the blink.
Comment? On the blink?
Out of order.
Yeah. It got stuck on the sixth.
You have been on the sixth floor all this time?
Yeah, that's right.
That is difficult to believe.
Why?
Because the indicator has been pointing to the basement.
Oh, that indicator. As soon as anything goes wrong, it flops.
I am not so sure that is true of the indicator. But unquestionably, monsieur, it is true of the too clever murderer. As soon as anything goes wrong, it flops. Again, Inspector Stevens, there is the situation. An unknown man strangled to death in one room and dragged down the fire escape to another.
Wow. If this body is the person I think it is, the Commissioner will have my head.
Ah, mon ami, forgive me, you seem agitated.
Well, you were wrong, too. I assigned my best man to guard him. Smartest chap on my force. Sam Tremble. Good Lord, Poirot. There'll be international scandal.
Gently, mon ami. You go too fast even for Hercule Poirot. Who is this magnificent figure of international importance?
Parrish. Jonathan Parrish.
Parrish? Ah, oui. The name rings a bell. He is the big currency expert?
That's right. He's on his way to Europe to set up the new paper currency for the liberated countries. Checked in at the Windsor today. We're supposed to pick up some papers, dyes and inks, and then hop a bomber tonight.
Second floor, please. An enormous undertaking, and one of great importance.
And I was responsible for his safety. He's supposed to be an eccentric sort of chap. No photographs, no publicity. Tremble was the man on the force who knew him at all, and Tremble failed. You see what this means, Poirot?
I see only this, my friend. We have arrived at the first step in the solution of this distressing murder. For now, we know the motive. This way, Inspector. This is the room. Mademoiselle Fletcher, your key?
Here you are.
I'll never live this down.
You exaggerate, mon ami. Even the best of men sometimes fail. The guard, Inspector, here is your corpse.
They certainly did a job. Thunderation.
You are shocked, monsieur?
Poirot, do you realize what's happened?
But of course, Inspector. It is not Jonathan Parrish who has been murdered, but your own faithful policeman, Sam Tremble.
Poirot, that's not very funny. You knew it all the time.
Pardon, mon ami. I knew nothing of the sort.
But you distinctly told me...
No, Inspector. You told me. To me, the dead man was an unknown corpse. It could be anyone. But when you speak of two men, one a wealthy financier of international importance, the other a police officer, by employing the little grey cells, it is not difficult to conclude that a corpse with the large, high, comfortable shoes and plain suit is the policeman.
Oh, of course. I'm
so... Monsieur, this is no time now for the profuse apologies.
You're right. We've got to get to Paris at once. The poor chap doesn't even know his bodyguard's gone. Hello. Hello, operator. What room is Jonathan Parrish in? Hey? 315. Hold on. Poirot, that's the room directly over this one, where Tremble was killed.
Precisely.
Operator, let me speak to Mr. Parrish.
I think you'll find the gentleman does not answer.
Why not?
Obviously, he would not witness a murder without reporting it. On the other hand, he too...
Good Lord, Poirot. Do you think he's dead too? We know he received a warning from Hilary Kent.
I do not follow you, mon ami.
I don't blame you. Hilary Kent is a criminal egomaniac.
One who commits crime chiefly for the pleasure of baffling the police, eh?
Exactly. Well, this Hilary Kent, or someone who calls himself Hilary Kent, is one of those chaps. He pulled off a few clever jobs and got away with them. We don't know anything about him, but whoever he is, he's got to get his thrill out of every job. So, he makes it a rule to warn his victims.
I know well the type. And Monsieur Parrish, I take it, has received such a warning?
Right. Now you see why I assign my best man.
Eh bien. But now we must hasten upstairs to Mr. Parrish's room. Already, it may be too late.
I'll go too. I don't want to stay here with this body.
You stay right here, Miss Fletcher, until I give you permission.
Inspector, if you do not mind, myself, I am not averse to Miss Fletcher's company. I find her very intriguing.
No answer.
But naturally, you did not expect the murderer to sit down and wait for us. You will have to employ the passkey.
Remember, Miss Fletcher, you're not to touch anything.
It's perfectly all right. I'm wearing gloves.
The inspector is thinking of fingerprints. Moi, I do not think he will find any. Monsieur Kent, or whoever the killer may be, is too clever to leave any such traces.
Well, maybe. But I want to be sure we don't lose even the tiniest clue.
An excellent approach, mon ami. There are many interesting things we may learn here about Monsieur Parrish.
He certainly gets around a lot.
Oui. The labels on his luggage are from the four corners of the earth.
Miss Fletcher, I said you're not to touch anything.
For goodness sake, it's only a book.
Books may be of great significance. Oui. This one, for example. It is no ordinary book. It is a stamp album of great value. Some of these stamps are almost without price. Very interesting. This Guatemala blue...
Put up your hands, all of you. Thunderation! I said don't move.
Have no fear, monsieur. I will not dispute the authority of your gun.
You can't get away with this. Put your gun down and talk fast. Who the devil are you?
But obviously, Inspector, this is the man we seek, Monsieur Jonathan Parrish.
That's just who I am. All right, speak up. Which one of you's Hilary Kent?
Hilary Kent?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Parrish. You've got this all wrong. I'm Inspector Stevens, Metropolitan Police. And this is Hercule Poirot, the famous Belgian detective.
So you say. You don't look like policeman to me. Particularly the little squirt with the silly moustache. You stay right where you are till I check on you.
Eh bien, Monsieur Parrish, now that you are satisfied as to our identity...
Well, I've heard of you, of course. You're supposed to be the greatest French detective.
Oh, always people say that about me, monsieur. But it is not entirely true. I am not French. I am Belgian.
Well, I wish you'd all get out of here and leave me alone. I'm expecting my daughter. I don't want her running into a room full of policemen.
But, monsieur, you are in great danger. You must be protected every moment.
You offering me police protection? Not worth a hoot.
I beg you.
That's what I said. Not worth a hoot. I have protection. Some detective there assigned to me. Where is he?
He is dead.
What?
He was murdered in this very room while protecting you.
Therefore, if you do not object too violently, I shall undertake to protect you until you step aboard your airplane.
All right, stay. I don't know how long it will be. I'm just waiting for one little parcel to be delivered, then I'm off.
Monsieur is taking much equipment?
Yes, quite a load. I've already sent most of it to the airport.
Ah, bon. This is good.
Miss, don't eat that chocolate. It may be poisoned.
Oh, nonsense. These chocolates aren't poisoned.
I wouldn't be too sure. That box of chocolates supposedly came from my daughter, Laura. It was delivered a short while ago.
But you suspect she did not send it?
Well, she's supposed to come in person. She'd be here by now, in fact. So why should she send it?
You are very shrewd, mon ami.
Hello? Excuse me.
Oh, wait a minute, Johnny. Come back here. What do you want?
Nothing really. I just want to see if Mr. Parrish got his extra laundry box, all right?
Yes, I received it.
Righto. Excuse me.
I picked up a few things to take along. Special dyes and inks. They'll just about fill up that laundry box. Excuse me. I've got to go into the bedroom and finish packing.
Crusty old bird, isn't he?
How would you be if you knew someone was out to kill you? No wonder he's jittery.
It's irritable and nervous. That perhaps explains it.
Explains what?
Why he wears upon his feet that unique pair of socks, one of which is green and the other brown.
All right. If the man wants to be eccentric, let him be. I've still got a murderer to catch. You want to come along?
No, Inspector. I have attached myself to Monsieur Parrish, and I propose to see that.
Come in.
Inspector, one of the constables found this on the pavement outside the hotel. Thought you might want to take a look at it for turning it into lost property.
Thank you, Brady. Thanks. Lady's handbag. Usual assortment of stuff. Cosmetics. Perfume. Change. Keys. Do you make anything of it, Poirot?
Sacre bleu.
What is it?
These initials. L.P. Monsieur Parrish?
Yes.
What did you say was the name of your charming daughter?
Laura.
Good Lord. L.P. Laura Parrish.
Poirot, where are you going?
I have a little idea. Mademoiselle Fletcher, please to accompany me.
How about Mr. Parrish? You were so attached to him.
I have become momentarily detached. I leave him in your care, Inspector. Protect him with your life. Come, come. It will not be the first time you have left the elevator unattended, Monsieur Johnny. Come along.
But, Mr. Poirot, you're wasting your time in this basement. Believe me.
Nevertheless, it interests me. Please do light the way.
There's nothing here. Just a lot of rubbish bins.
One moment. What is behind this door?
Oh, well, that's the laundry bin. They keep all the soiled linen in there. You don't find anything in there.
We shall take one brief glance, eh?
See? Nothing but a pile of dirty sheets and pillowcases.
Good gracious, what a laundry bill they must have.
Eh bien, let us proceed to... one moment.
What is it?
Sacrebleu, protruding from under these sheets.
Follow me.
A foot, a small foot. This is what I feared.
Look!
Ah, it moves. Then we are not too late. Quickly, monsieur. Help me to uncover her.
That's all I know, Mr. Poirot. I was walking along the street towards the hotel. Just as I passed the alley, I was pulled in. I tried to scream, but something was pressed against my mouth.
Chloroform, Miss Parrish. Had you seen your assailant, you would have seen Hilary Kent. Hello, Miss Parrish, you are most fortunate. Another few minutes under those linens, and who knows? Voila, here is the room of your father. Inspector Stevens, here is Miss Parrish.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Come in. I was afraid, Poirot, you'd turn up with a body. How'd you manage to find her?
That is not important now. We have found her, but we seem to have lost the father.
Oh, yes. Miss Parrish, I'm sorry. Your father's terribly upset about you, but his material was delivered and he had to rush off to the airport.
Oh, no, don't tell me I've missed him after all this.
Ma pauvre petite, we have neglected you, eh? Miss Fletcher, your home is now free of corpse. Please take Mademoiselle Parrish down and attend to her the first aid.
Come along, Laura.
Thank you.
Inspector, I hope you do not later have cause to regret that you permitted Parrish to go off to the airport unprotected.
He'll be all right. Besides, I've got a job to do here. Although, frankly, I'm in a complete fog. I can't make head or tail of the whole business.
No, Inspector. The head and the tail we have.
What?
Yes, it is merely a fragment of the middle that we still lack.
Well, who is it? Hey, Poirot, where are you going?
To see how Miss Parrish is and to telephone the airport to see that Mr. Parrish receives the proper attention. Au revoir. Someone calls?
It's Johnny in that parked car.
Mr. Poirot, I've got a message for you from Inspector Stevens. He rushed off a minute ago.
From Stevens? What is it? What is the message?
He says he's just got word that Mr. Parrish has been seriously hurt in a car accident on a South End road.
Mon Dieu, this is too much.
Yeah, and you're to get there as fast as you can. Here's the address.
52 South End Road. Monsieur, your duties for the day are over.
Yeah.
And this is your vehicle?
Yeah, why?
There is no time to seek a taxi, so I will impose on your kindness. Miss Fletcher, quickly, please.
Rightio. South End Road, right?
No, to the airport.
What?
But Mr. Parrish isn't at the airport. He's uninjured on the South End Road.
No, mademoiselle. That is what I was intended to believe. Do you not think so, Johnny? He is not there, I assure you.
How do you know?
Well, South End Road is not on the way to Croydon. It is in the opposite direction. This is merely a trick to keep us from the flying field. We must hurry there before it is too late. Over there.
Parrish as large as life.
Yeah, kiss him all right.
Come along, please. Both of you. Monsieur Parrish.
Monsieur Poirot, my daughter, is she?
She is at the hotel, monsieur, resting. She has had a small misadventure, but she is entirely safe.
Thank heavens.
You are relieved, eh?
Am I,
I don't think I'd have got on that plane if you hadn't found her. Fortunately, I didn't have to. They've been delayed a while.
Poirot?
Inspector Stevens, I knew you would not walk into the trap.
Yeah, but as usual, you beat me to it. I was halfway out Southend Road before I realised what was happening.
Eh bien, here is Mr. Parrish, safe and sound, eh? I suggest the bomber be inspected with great care. There may be sabotage.
Good idea.
Also, have all the doors of this building guarded.
Mr. Poirot, do I have to hang around here?
But of course, Jolly. We may require you for our return trip. Oh, Mr. Parrish, here is your pilot to report.
We're ready now, Mr. Parrish. Thank you. Captain, here comes my luggage. Will you see that it gets aboard?
Right, sir.
And be especially careful of that wooden crate. Well, goodbye, Inspector. I must admit, you've been extremely helpful, and I'm much obliged.
Not at all. Goodbye, and happy landings.
And Miss Fletcher?
Goodbye, sir.
Monsieur Poirot, it's been a privilege to know you. I'm only sorry I couldn't remain to see you solve the case.
But you have, monsieur.
I beg your pardon?
The case, it is solved. Inspector, meet Hilary Kent, the gentleman to whom you have just wished bon voyage.
Hilary Kent? You're mad, Poirot.
Good gracious, I thought he was Parrish.
And that wooden crate which I have waited so long to see, it is not to be moved, Inspector.
Why not?
Because, mon ami, it contains the body of Jonathan Parrish. Stevens, everything is taken care of?
Yes, they're taking Kent away now.
Then perhaps you will join us in a little supper.
No thanks, Poirot. I've got to get back. I just dropped over to ask a few questions.
For example?
Well, when did you first suspect that Kent was impersonating Parrish?
Almost from the start. When we entered the home of Mr. Parrish, what do we find, eh? An amazing paradox. On the one hand, we have a man who is an ardent stamp collector, whose album is in perfect order. Each stamp, each shade of stamp, precisely in its proper place, eh? Except the most valuable one of all, a Guatemala blue, reposing among American 3-cent stamps. Later, when I look at his socks, one green and one brown, I am certain. The man in the room is colorblind.
And therefore not Parrish, the stamp collector.
More important than that, he cannot be Parrish, the currency expert, who is to select the colors and shades of the new paper money, eh? Therefore, if the man in the room is not Parrish, who is he?
Obviously, Hilary Kent.
Then why didn't you arrest him straight away?
Because without a body, one cannot prove a murder. And I felt sure Monsieur Kent would lead me to the body.
Then you weren't guarding him, you were watching him.
Precisely.
Well, you weren't so smart. When you let him out of your sight, he might have got away in the plane.
Not at all. When I called the airport, it was to make sure that the plane would not leave until I gave the word.
You know everything, don't you?
Some things are obvious, mademoiselle. We can suppose Hilary Kent discovers the nature of the mission Monsieur Parrish is engaged in. Ah, what a magnificent opportunity for a swindler, eh? Perhaps the greatest in history. To remove Jonathan Parrish, fly to Europe as Parrish, deliver the papers, the formulas, the dies to the proper authorities, and then, at the moment juste, counterfeit the new currency and reap a huge fortune.
Goodness me, the man must be mad.
Perhaps, mademoiselle. But he is also a genius, eh? He learns that Parrish is at the Hotel Windsor in room 315. He knocks on the door. Parrish admits him and is at once strangled to death, eh? But the body, that must be disposed of, where no one will find it. There is but one thing to do. Take the body to Europe in the very packing case that stands in the room.
Then you just guessed where the body was.
No, Inspector. There was proof in the room. You remember the second laundry box that Hilary Kent asked for? This is for some special ink, he says to us, which I have only now purchased. Obviously, this is a lie. On such a mission, one does not purchase supplies at the last minute, eh? Hence, I know these inks and dyes have been removed from some other box or crate to make room for the body.
Gracious, it's as plain as the nose on my face. What about Laura Parrish?
I worked that out. She telephoned and says to Kent, Dad, I'm coming over. Of course, he can't allow that or the show's over. So he goes down to the alley and eliminates her. Right, Poirot?
Exactly. As for poor Tremble, he has been with Parrish and he knows him. When he knocks on the door and Kent appears, he demands to see Parrish. Kent kills him, and since the packing case is already occupied, drags him down to Miss Fletcher's room.
That was his big mistake. He should never have started up with me.
Yes. Excuse me for a minute. I think that's the mortuary van pulling in.
Mademoiselle, may I ask you a question of a personal nature?
Certainly.
Mademoiselle, you are not now engaged in a business enterprise?
No.
Are you fluent with the shorthand and the typewriter?
Why, yes.
Bon, mademoiselle. I find you both intelligent and amusing. A rare combination in a woman. Moreover, I am in great need of a secretary with your superb qualifications.
Why, Mr. Poirot?
Oh, you do not yet employ the little gray cells to the best advantage. Nevertheless, if you are interested...
Oh, Mr. Poirot, for 10 years I've been devouring detective stories, and you ask me if I'm interested. Monsieur, you've got a secretary.
Well, Poirot, they've taken Kent away now. I guess that winds up the case.
Not quite, Inspector. Tell me, where does Monsieur Kent reside?
We found a lease on him for a flat in South Kensington, in Stanhope Gardens.
That is a good neighbourhood.
Oh, splendid. It's right in the heart of the city. But why do you ask?
I do not think Monsieur Kent will need an apartment for some time. But I do. You see, my friends, it is as I have said. To find an apartment in London is the essence of simplicity. One has only to solve 2 murders.
Your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
Agatha Christie's the profession is overcrowded,
and the struggle
the
to be tougher, and admitting
blinds,
the fact she's burning to access
quite
enough.
Radio,
she has nice
hands
to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think that that is too developing for her age? I repeat, Mrs. Worthington.
Mrs.
Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Regarding your dear Mrs. Worthington, of Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can I make it clear this is not a good idea for her to hope, dear Mrs. Worthington, is on the face of it absurd. Her personality is not in reality inciting enough for this particular
piece.
Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess, and the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success.
May we take this opportunity
a loud
to wish all our listeners
though with
a
not
very
exactly
pleasant
that she'll need the little more than that to earn a living wage on my knees, Mrs. Worthington. Please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage.